glorious nation under God. We will never give in. We will never give up. We will never, ever back down. And we will never, ever, ever, ever surrender.
Now, back to Dimitri, live and dangerously local on River Talk, 1290 AM, 100.1 FM, 100.9 FM, and 1430 AM, a River Network production.
Live exclusive interview with West Virginia State Senator Chris Rose, a real star, rising star in the MAGA movement, defeated a rhino, Dr. Phony Maroney is full of baloney, and spent a fraction of the amount of money. Was it like 5% of what Maroney spent in the other establishment Republicans against you?
It was just under 5%. It was, you know, approximately almost 1.3. I say 1.2 is one quite 1.3 million, about 54,000. So that works out to just a little under 5% of the funds that he had.
It's absolutely unbelievable. Tell me about the other race here in the first state Senate district with Ryan Weld and Scotty Adams. I supported Scott, another MAGA conservative, and I thought we were doing really, really well. In fact, I knew we were doing really, really well because at the last minute, it seemed that Ryan Weld, State Senator Ryan Weld, they spent maybe Blair spent the money or whatever. They spent a fortune on ads, morning, noon, and night through Election Day in order to keep help Ryan Weld keep his state Senate seat. What do you know about that race?
You know, you're exactly right. It was very weird. The result did not match the polling because we polled that the entire time. You know, like with my race as well, we polled it and we knew that we were ahead, but we didn't want to take it for granted. Even as the money was coming in, we knew that we were ahead because we kept polling the thing the entire time. Well, we also polled SD1, and Scott Adams had, you know, like a 5-7% lead consistently going into the final weeks of that.
Yep.
But what happened was also, like you said, Blair, you know, the Republican leadership or establishment decided to dump a bunch of money into that race, you know, very similar to my own. The one thing also that Ryan had going for him was AFP. You know, I don't always agree with AFP's endorsements. We, you know, sometimes we agree on issues. You know, I think, you know, and same with Trump. I think they're in better terms with him now. They obviously were in for Nikki Haley for a while. But they came in and they door knocked for Ryan Weld. So all the door knocking and stuff that Scott Adams was doing on the ground, unfortunately, was offset by AFP coming in and paying door knockers by hundreds of thousands of dollars to come in and door knock on behalf of Ryan Weld. Now, obviously, they also backed my good friend Patricia Rucker. So that's why I say I don't always agree with their endorsements because they go on both sides of the Republican spectrum for whatever reason. But they should have supported Scott Adams, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah. No question. AFP is Americans for Prosperity. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay, great. Are they a MAGA group? I mean, apparently not. What exactly are they?
They're the Koch brothers are the ones that fund that group. They're not necessarily MAGA. I mean, they support some MAGA candidates, but they also support a lot of the establishment candidates. Their criteria would, you know, if you look at it, you would think that they would want to support the MAGA candidates. But they still are too connected to the establishment in a lot of ways. And you would see that with them supporting outgoing Senate President Craig Blair and seeing them go against Scott Adams in the primary in SD1. So they don't always get it right. And hopefully we can work on that and work on a relationship with them with the new Senate President coming in and the new conservative team where they support more conservative, liberty-minded people going forward. But we got a lot of work to do to clean that up because I think that was a huge oversight problem on their part where we had a golden opportunity to get another MAGA patriot in. And
oh, yeah.
I got to be honest with them. They dropped the ball in that situation.
No question. I did my part as well for Scotty as I did for you, letting my listeners know. And you could feel the momentum. You could feel it. And then when I saw all those TV ads, morning, noon, and night, I mean, unreal numbers for Ryan Weld. I thought to myself, wow, he's in big trouble. But at the same time, with all these ads running, we're in big trouble too, because they might be able to buy the election. And apparently that's exactly what they did for Ryan Weld.
Yes, unfortunately that happens in a lot of cases. You know, it's not always the best candidate wins. A lot of times it comes down to one with the most money. And you can overcome that depending on how strong your ground game is. And, you know, I know Scott did have a ground game, but unfortunately, you know, if the other team also has a ground game that's equal to yours, and they also have the money advantages advertising, that can shift the advantage in a race, especially one where it was only a 5-7 point lead. Now, granted, at one point in my polling, I was up by 41%, and I finished around 30%. because they spent $1.2 million,
right,
and they got about 11% of the vote swing their way, but we was able to hang on due to the strong ground game that we had. And that's the difference of my race versus Scott Adams is, yeah, they swung it their way, but I had such a big lead from the strong ground game, we were able to hang on with a significant margin. Scott was in a 5-7% lead. He couldn't afford to lose, you know, any ground at all. And unfortunately, when AFP came in and door knocked, because they're very effective at what they do.
Yeah.
When they came in a door knock, it swung that race heavily in Ryan's favor.
Yeah, I think with Scott, who I like very much, but I had a few talks with him about it, he was nowhere near as, nowhere near as committed to raising money and being very proactive to raise funds. I mean, I was talking with him about, there was a local lawyer who was supposedly helping him raise money, but I didn't see any effort on his part at all. And if Scott Adams, who I like very much, and I wish him well, truly, and hopefully he can run again against Ryan Weld, if he had been much more aggressive in raising money, I mean, certainly not the millions, but a lot more aggressive with fundraisers and all of that, it might have had a similar outcome as yours. I think that was his big weakness. He didn't realize how important it was to raise whatever money he could and to give himself plenty of time to do it. Did you get that sense?
Yeah. So, I mean, like, well, again, like you, I do like Scott, but, you know, to give him a little bit of criticism, the fundraising, it's hard as a MAGA candidate because, you know, you're a freedom thinker. You're independent. You don't like asking for other people's help. So it's hard to go against your nature and ask for that money. So, I mean, I understand where he's coming from with that, but you got to have powder to fight, right?
Yep.
You know, you have to. It's just a reality of it. And for example, like, I raised $54,000. It doesn't necessarily sound like a lot up front, but in the state of West Virginia, that's especially in Senate District 2, that's actually the second most amount of money ever raised in the SD2, Senate District 2. $54,000 is the second most ever raised in a primary. That goes to show you how much the establishment went out of their way to spend against me this time. Because, you know, prior to that, $48,000 was the record in a Republican primary in Senate District 2 in West Virginia. I broke it. The bad news is my opponent broke it by, you know, 20 times as much. So, you know, if Scott would have raised around 50-some thousand,
yep,
that would have put him in play, yep, in a Republican primary, yep, in West Virginia.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That was the one drawback, and I spoke to him about it at length and, you know, hopefully learned from that. But, yeah, I knew he was doing well. You could just feel it. And then, my God, all that money started pouring in for Ryan Weld. So, question, now that MAGA pretty much I'm assuming MAGA pretty much controls the Senate. Does MAGA get all of that money to help MAGA candidates, like Blair had that money to help RINO candidates?
So we are seeing some of that now that we've, since the primaries went our way, and now that the Senate presidency caucus vote went our way, we are seeing that inflow into a PAC that we control to recruit our kind of candidates going forward. So that is the good news. I'm not going to say that we're going to equally dollar for dollar match what the establishment had, but the good news is there is some money in West Virginia that is now coming to us, knowing that they are not going to face the repercussions from the establishment, yep, here on the Senate level. So that's good to see that they feel they've, now that they've got that freedom, they're choosing to go with us. So it shows that there actually will be a little bit more money going into 2026 to help more MAGA candidates, to help us build up, keep doing and keep going. And let's get a few more seats in 26 and keep building this MAGA majority.
Yeah, no question. Primary every RINO. I tell everyone who listens to me, just primary every RINO. That's the only answer. You can't negotiate with them. You can't trust them. You got to primary them. Just get rid of them, or else they're going to undermine everything that that you do, because that's who they are. Live exclusive interview here with West Virginia State Senator Chris Rose, who is a winner, a huge upset, defeating an incumbent RINO, Dr. Mike Maroney, the phony baloney Maroney. What's going to happen now for Chris Rose? You're going to stay in Charleston, or are you eyeing going up against Shelley Moore Capito, because there are some other MAGA people, including Derek Evans, who are looking at that as well?
You know, you'd be surprised at the amount of times I've get that question, because when you beat the incumbent by the way that we did, obviously, you know, people look at you and know there's, you know, viability there, and that, you know, we could take this guy and run him against higher office. I've been on Fox News, OAN, Newsmax, all those people have asked me that same question.
Yep.
But, you know, and I'm going to kind of give you the politician answer in a way. I don't feel like it's right for me to convince the people of SD2 to vote against an incumbent and then immediately turn around and run for a different office and betray that trust, because they voted for this guy for years and years. And now they've trusted me to be their state senator. So I'm going to get a session or two under my belt representing them, deliver some big wins, and we'll evaluate it from there. Now, what I would say, I wouldn't run against my dear friend Derek Evans in that situation. I will say that. I'll put that out there on the table. Like, he is eyeballing running for the U.S. Senate seat.
Yep.
I would never, you know, do a situation where him and I are both running against Shelley, or quite frankly, if Congressman Alex Mooney decided to do it, all three of us did not need to be running against Shelley Moore Capito. That would decide that would split the conservative vote and decide it in her favor. Now, I'm not going to say never in those situations, but for me, as of right now, I know I'm in the running to be the next state's energy chair, would be the youngest one for the Senate in state history. Want to do some things there against the Green New Deal in West Virginia, you know, go back to energy freedom, supporting coal, oil, and gas in a free and open market.
Yes.
And let's do some big wins for West Virginia, but I'm not going to say never on anything far as federal office or even governor. But as of right now, I want to focus on representing the people who entrusted me after 8 years of having that tyrannical rhino represent this district. They entrusted me, and I don't want to betray their trust by running for higher office immediately.
Yeah. Do you think that the Republican establishment would pay Alex Mooney insane amounts of money to be that second guy, second MAGA guy running against Shelley Moore Capito?
I do think there's a risk of that, whether it's him or someone else. I do think that they will try to bait, because Derek's already raised over $1 million. He's done a fantastic job hitting it hard and early and raised over $1 million already.
Wow.
And, you know, to people outside of West Virginia that's listening, that may not sound like a lot to you, but West Virginia is one of the cheapest states to run a campaign in the country.
Yep.
Our media markets are, you know, a lot lower cost than most other states. So for him to already have $1 million in the war chest this far out, that's a pretty big deal. So I could see where Shelley would see that and establishment would see that. Mitch McConnell on his way out the door would see that and try to entice an Alex Mooney or some other candidate into that race. But I can tell you right now, as long as my good friend Derek Evans is in there, I am not remotely considering running in that race. And it's not because I wouldn't want to take her on. It's because I want her to lose. And I have zero interest in splitting that vote and ensuring a Shelley Moore Capito victory.
Plus, how much longer is Jim Justice going to be around? I mean, if we're going to be honest about it. So you might be taking Jim Justice's seat, which I don't think would be all that hard, by the way. A couple things. I'll take a short break here, but very quickly, Alex Mooney, he comes across like a MAGA guy, but really he's not. He wasn't there for the vote to impeach Mayorkas. He had some lame-ass excuse that he was seeing some constituents in Clarksburg or something like that. Does anybody seriously believe that Alex Mooney is a real Trump guy, a real MAGA guy, or just an opportunist?
You know, I think he took some damage exactly in the way you're saying. I think he took some damage in this primary cycle when he missed some of those key votes. You know, that did damage his image. He's had some damage between him and the MAGA base. Obviously, Trump came in and endorsed Justice. And while I didn't necessarily agree with that endorsement, you know, a lot of West Virginians already, you know, like Justice. You know, I personally don't think he was the best choice. But, you know, a lot of West Virginians already liked him. Trump endorsed him. So there is some damage for Alex to repair with the MAGA base if he's ever to make a political comeback.
No question. More with Chris Rose, a rising star in the MAGA movement. He is a West Virginia state senator, a huge upset victory, David versus Goliath. Hardcore Trump guy, great guy, fourth generation miner, I believe. We'll be talking with him about that. And also about the new governor in West Virginia, Patrick Morrissey. What exactly is he? Is he a Trump guy? Is he a MAGA guy? Or is he just one more rhino?